Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.
Okay, Tim, good to go when you are.
Cue the music.
This is just a guide to modern life. Modern life is hard to get just right. It can frustrate you and annoy. And if it does, right into dear Lovejoy.
Welcome to Dear Lovejoy, the award-winning podcast. This is an advice podcast with the horrible prospect that you'll be taking advice off a TV presenter. Anyway, I think I'm good at it now. I have Mark here to keep me in check. Hi, Mark.
Yeah. Hi, Tim. Hi, everyone.
Yeah, I'm good, aren't I, Mark?
Well, you know, I mean, advice is in the ear of the beholder.
Good. Do you know what? We've got so much in this week's show.
Ask me a question. Let me finish the answer.
I'm so unprepared for this, Mark.
Why?
I don't. It's just got so much in this.
You've had a week.
We've had so much. By the way, full disclosure, if this is the first time you've listened to us, the award we have is our own. We gave ourselves an award. We thought we'd done well, so we thought we deserved it.
It's what everyone else does, isn't it?
Well, interestingly, Mark, I thought this would make you laugh. I had someone on my on Sunday brunch not so long ago, and on their biog, we get sent through a biog, and they did a, I won't go into who it was, but they did a podcast, and it said award-winning podcast. And I just thought, how can you actually, is that serious? Like, most of the country does not listen to podcasts, and they're already handing out awards. I think it's absolutely brilliant. I love it. I do like awards, because when you trace awards back, there's always someone at the beginning of the chain who's making a few quid, isn't there?
Absolutely. I've got a pair of award-winning shorts on today.
Oh yeah, well done. What I like about awards I like the fact they exist. They're either a panel or they're a public vote. But who votes in a public vote? What have you ever voted for, Mark?
Apart from
politics.
Okay, fine.
And even politics, I struggle with these days because none of those idiots represent me. Oh my God, don't get me started on that lot. I really struggled in the last election. I'm like
Lovejoy in political scandal. Lovejoy 62 says,
I've never missed a vote, and I'm saying they're going, God, none of this lot are talking about stuff that I think's relevant at the moment.
What do you want, like?
People who talk about global issues.
Jersey Shore.
To people who talk about the future. Anyway, what have you voted for? Yeah, about future, long-term politics. Never, I don't want short-term
voted.
Politics.
Never voted on anything that is... Let me clarify that and stop talking so someone can't clip that out. I've never voted for anything that is a public vote about something to do with the media. There
so,
we go.
So that public vote to do what?
With the media things, you know, like music or TV or film.
Yeah, you've never voted for album of the year.
No.
Goal of the month.
No.
favourite singer on a show?
Oh, actually.
Oh, here we go.
I had to once vote. We were at a friend's house and the kids were really wanted someone to win. And so yeah. I voted for someone on one of those talent shows. Done that once.
And there's nothing wrong with voting on those things, absolutely, because what it does is it gives people the ability to join in, and people like that because they like to join in and feel part of it, so it's important. But because I've never voted for something, I imagine there's a lot of people like me who don't vote for things out there, so you're not getting a true representation of what's good and what's not in award, or otherwise it's a panel. I've been on a panel or two.
Have you?
Yeah, it's a tricky process, that there's always a lot of politics involved in it. Anyway, on this award-winning podcast today, we're talking keeping your senses awake, how to pose in a celebrity photo, and what to do if someone is destroying your family. Also, might talk about dancing as well. By the way, we had a conversation with Ronnie O'Sullivan the other day on the podcast, which is extremely interesting. I think you'll all like it, though it's embargoed until his book comes out, so that won't be until November. But I really think he says some interesting stuff, and even if you're not a fan of snooker, I think you're going to enjoy his company. Bit of business before we get to our problems, shall we, Mark?
Go on then.
First of all, we had an email in. All right, lads, I sent the email last week about the HIV cancer. But because I was all worked up writing it, I forgot to actually say your podcast is really good. Thanks, mate. Just the right amount of humour. Humour? There's no humour.
I don't know which podcast he's listening to.
Seriousness. That's us. Sarcasm. There's none of that going on. And fun. And you and Mark make a good team. Oh. Keep it up. Yeah, he feels guilty because he called you a biscuit on the side of the car.
He did.
Twice.
Yeah.
Twice. Just a quick comment. My mate told me this when I was down. If you think your life as a pie chart full of three different things, work, family, and friends stroke social, if you feel only one part of the chart is doing good, you'll be sad. Work on one of the others. If two are doing good, you'll generally be content and happy. Obviously, you would love to get all three to be great. I think this is called balance. That's what that is, a balanced life. And that is what everyone's really aiming for. The sad thing about balance is we've created a world where being out of balance is considered successful.
Right.
Well, as humans, we let's just take work as one of them. We think working all hours, we think of that as a virtue. And if you want to succeed, you might have to do it. So you go, let's do sport. It's easy to do. Endurance sport. They are training 7 days a week, 365 days a year. They never take time off for Christmas. They are absolutely dedicated to their sport. They're determined. They're putting all the hours in, but they've got no balance. And we go, that's brilliant. They've succeeded. You're a top businessman. You're a banker. But you know, when you get a businessman, you put him up on a business a pedestal, and everyone goes, he's amazing. He works so hard. He never had time to see his family. But that's what, as humans, we've created actually a really good way to balance. And by the way, I did that in my beginning of my TV career. I worked ridiculous hours, always 6 days a week. And
you wouldn't have this kitchen without it.
TV tune with the TV money. Yeah, but it's a bad environment we've created.
Cause it's a lovely kitchen.
It is a lovely kitchen, but there's no need for it. You get balance. I think balance is making sure when you do have a family, you try and get to spend as much time with them and also your friends. So this is absolutely right with a pie chart. Last week, I gave advice on how to give up smoking. It's a mind struggle. It's a struggle in the mind. Well, Janine has written in. Dear Tim and Mark, what was that noise?
It sounded like someone fell down the stairs. Go and have a look.
Oh, it's the postman.
Well, is he falling down the stairs? What were you doing the postman upstairs?
Well, you know, he came around earlier and... the postman put something through the letterbox. You don't get this on many podcasts. I think this is why I won an award. Because, you know, we get to share postman coming round. Dear Tim and Mark, this is from Janine. Still enjoying the podcast. What do you mean still enjoying the podcast? Like you were going to stop enjoying them. Still enjoying the podcast.
It is a bit of an ordeal, isn't it? Every week.
Torture. Still enjoying the podcast and thought I'd share my pearls of wisdom on giving up smoking. I too was very good at smoking, mainly through going to clubs and raves in the 90s. Because on it, I said on the podcast, the last one, if you listen back to it, I said I was very good at smoking. I used to do it. I gave up 15 years ago, 16 years ago, but I used to be very good at it, smoked a lot. Tim, you're right. It's a big psychological battle. And as well as the switch, I talk about a big switch in the mind. You need some motivation. My motivation was money.
Okay.
I tried nicotine gum and patches, but I always found myself smoking again. When I eventually gave up around 17 years ago, fags were a fiver a pack. I think a tenner is the going rate nowadays. £10? £10? Is it really £10 for a packet of fags? How do people afford that? For every day that I didn't smoke, I put £5 in a jar and watched the money grow. What a brilliant idea. That gave me the motivation to give up smoking for good. I've never touched a cigarette again to this day, as I know that one cigarette could lead to 20 a day. That is a fact, actually. If you give up something, never do it again, because it just pushes that switch back on and you end up smoking again. After a couple of years, I bought a car with the money. I bought a car with the money? That's the greatest motivation ever. I would otherwise have spent...
I hope you have a cigarette lighter in it.
Do you know what? It always amazes me.
They still have them.
That they still have cigarette ashtrays and cigarette lighters in cars. Why?
I don't know.
And it's just amazing.
Any plane you get on, they still have those little flip... The new ones still have the little flip thing for ashtrays. Like
no,
gonna,
not the well, new planes.
We might bring them back soon. We don't know.
Bring back some fags. It is unbelievable because my car's pretty new and I always was so shocked when I got into it and saw an ashtray in it. I thought, why on earth they put ashtrays in cars? Because even if you're a smoker, you know not to smoke in a car, because
so they still do it on the baby seats.
Yeah, just in there.
On the child lock seats.
Yeah. Anyway, she says this gave me motivation to give up smoking for good. Yeah, she bought a car with the money I would otherwise spent on cigarettes. It wasn't a new or flash car, but it represented an achievement that I was proud of. I never looked back and enjoyed the benefits of being an ex-smoker immensely. Yes, a smug ex-smoker, as I said on the last podcast. If you are going to give up smoking, everyone goes, oh, don't be a smug ex-smoker. No, do become a smug ex-smoker. If you manage to do it, become smug, because it's blooming hard to do. It again, I repeat, it's the hardest thing I've ever done, but also the easiest thing I've ever done.
The Lovejoy paradox.
Once you get that switch in your mind switched, it's so easy to do. You just got to find something that works for you. Anyway, she says, if only I'd carried on saving that fiver every day. Love and best wishes, Janine. Janine, thank you very much. That's a very good email. Adrian says, just listen to this week's podcast. Enough of that. Just wondered how Tim is going to do the podcast when he's in the jungle. I'm sure he'll be camp chef. I bet Simon has a recipe on kangaroo willy stew. Can't wait to see Tim do the bush tucker trials. His three girls will love a trip to Australia watching Daddy Be Brave on the telly. Adrian, it's a done deal, Adrian. I'm definitely in the jungle this year. 100%.
That is how rumours start.
By
someone saying a thing.
100%. I'm in the jungle this year. I would actually love to do that show.
Would you actually do it, though?
Yeah. The problem is, and I always say this about all these shows, I'd love to do them all. I'd love to do The Jump. Because I love winter sports. I'd love to do that.
With your back.
Yeah, but I think my back's all right now. I think I could do it. But I'd love to do that. I actually would quite like to do... I know this sounds weird, but I'd like to have done Splash. Because even though I don't want to really stand in I don't want to stand on telly in front of millions in my Speedos. However, I would quite like to do all the gymnastic bit and diving into the pool. It looks fun to me. So I love all those things. But my problem with it all is I've got a job. And I do Sunday brunch, which I just love doing. I really enjoy doing it. It's 3 hours every week of just, for me, pure fun. And I don't really want to miss doing it, because eventually it's going to come to an end. Everything comes to an end, Mark.
Perhaps you and Simon could swap with Ant and Dec for 4 weeks.
I do Saturday primetime TV.
Yeah,
that'd be good fun. I'd like the money, which goes along with that job.
What am I thinking? You and Simon, me and you, more like.
Yeah, let's do it. Actually, I don't want the money. Money's the root of all evil. Anyway, I have fun. I learn on a Sunday morning. So it's really tough for me to give up the idea that I would do that. Honestly, as I've said on this podcast a million times, you find a job you love, you never have to work again. I positively skip to work every Sunday because I think I can't wait for the show to start. Warren says, dear Tim and Mark, great podcast. It's one of the few I make time to listen to each week. Keep up the good work. This is the first time writing into the show, and I've got one life hack and two questions for you. Firstly, the life hack, the pearls of wisdom, something they wouldn't have taught you at school. I think it's definitely on par with Tim's classic hack, how to stop smoking, and more recently, stuffing your shoes to make yourself feel better and take them off. That's good. We haven't done that yet.
Was the worst one you've ever done.
Possibly.
Actually, that's quite a long list.
Brace yourself for this one, Tim. I think you'll love it. A lot of people struggle to get up in the morning, and I'm sure lots would love to turn off their alarm and go back to sleep when it does go off, right? We'll try this one for size. Set your alarm for an hour or longer before your normal alarm, just so you have that satisfaction of turning it off, rolling over and going back to sleep. Now, I know you wanted professional life hacks, but I think this could fit into that category, as I'm pretty experienced in sleeping and have been doing it so on and off for 30 years now. that's actually pretty good.
That's a great life hack.
Can I just say, though, that...
Who's that from?
That is from Warren. Can I just say that... That is a good life hack, because it is that beautiful feeling when you wake up early and then you realise you can go sit. It's that same thing. It doesn't work for me on a Sunday because I work on a Sunday. But for people, when they wake up on a Sunday and think they've got work and they go, oh, it's a Sunday. I don't have to do anything. Oh, it's that wonderful feeling. However, Mir Krieger, who came on our show, our podcast, who's one of the leading sleep experts in the world, if not the leading expert, told us that we should be waking up naturally. And I have started waking up naturally because of that. I go to bed so much earlier now. And I've started waking up about 6:30, 7 o'clock every day naturally. And it works. It feels a lot better.
Yeah.
You?
Yes. Well, I told you, I leave the curtains open so that I wake up with the sunlight.
But what?
That's
well, yeah, but
the sun, like some sort of.
But the sunlight changes,
Robin
Mark. As the year progresses, as the Earth spins and the sun moves around in its spurious ways, the sunlight changes, so it's dark when you wake up.
Yeah, but there's
moment.
Still a sense of, you know, there's light coming through. Dawn breaks, doesn't it?
Yeah, later though. So you,
that's
do you,
all right.
So as the world goes, as it, you, so your sleep
yeah,
patterns
change.
Yeah, but
see, change. The thing is, I like to go cycling in the morning, right? Mm-hmm. And so I can't go cycling until there's sunlight. Otherwise, it's dangerous. Okay. So I that's later on in the winter. So I'll wake up half an hour, 45 minutes before I want to go cycling.
Okay.
All right? Happy
Warren,
with that?
It's your pearl of wisdom, your life hack is all right, but basically
I think it's a good one.
I'll try and wake up naturally. Listen, what number is Mir Kreiger, Mark? What number is it? Do you know? Have you got it in front of you? Because you should, if you haven't listened to Mir Kreiger talking about sleep, it's one of the most important podcasts we've ever done. He educates you on how you need between 7 and 9 hours if you're a adult. One of my friends the other day declared that he is surviving quite happily and successfully on 5 hours. Mir Kreiger says he's never met anyone who can do that. Yeah. So it's absolute nonsense. What number is it?
Episode 17, The Secrets of Sleep. Interview special.
Go back to that. Episode 17?
17.
17. Episode 17. It's one of the greats. His question. Don't laugh.
Is that going on our greatest hits album?
It was around that time that we decided we deserved an award, wasn't it?
It was episode 18.
Was it? Yeah, I knew that because we'd done that one and we thought, well, that's a really good episode. Let's give ourselves an award. anyway, he goes on, Warren, says, question is about one of your jingles. Firstly, hats off to Mark because they're really catchy and I always find myself singing along in my head. Hey, I like your new Google one, Mark.
Thanks very much, Tim.
That did make me giggle.
Did it make you Google, though?
It did make me giggle and Google. In fact, he goes on to say, to remember the email, I just had to sing the song. But, oh, yeah. How does the song go for the email?
Tim, I'm disappointed in you.
Let's play it. I'll tell you what, let's play it now. Here we go.
If what you want to ask is just too long for Twitter, don't stress. We've got an easy to remember email address. This is the reason for this overly long song. It's dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com.
.com. Yes, it's very catchy. Yeah, so all he had to do is sing this song. But the question is, at the end of the Pearls of Wisdom jingle, what do you say, Mark? Don't let life mug you off, mug. And then you say a word that sounds like banana. But surely it can't be. Why would you be name dropping bananas? Maybe you say, who are ya? Maybe I'm being silly and not hearing the obvious, but please put me out of my misery. Now, I've got to say at this stage, because we've not spoken about this, I have always assumed you say banana, but I've never really understood why you said that. I just thought it was something from your head. I've known you well, and it was a sort of weird thing that would come out of your head. What are you actually saying?
I am saying banana.
Oh, you are? Okay. Yeah. Banana. Why are you saying banana?
Rhythmically, I wanted something just like a thing at the end, just like a little thing at the end, and I was sitting opposite a bunch of bananas. That's the truth. Because
really?
The thing is, the main theme tune, you know, the one at the top.
Yeah.
That I did in like a studio.
Yeah.
So that's why it sounds quite polished. But the other ones I just do sat at a table at home with my laptop and a guitar or whatever, and a piano the other day.
Very good.
So yes, and so it was very.
Mark is good at jingles.
It was very slapdash. But
if you want to request one, my friend Paddy, he was the one who said that it's a bit boring when I Google, and he said get Mark to write a jingle, and Mark did. He wrote a jingle. That was a request. So if you want to request a jingle,
I'm taking requests,
put one in. You can listen to the. We won't play it now, but we'll listen. You can listen to the Pearl of Wisdom jingle a little bit later on because I've got a few this week.
Oh, I thought we were missing that this
no,
week. Oh, phew.
I've got a few. I've got a good one. Whatever. Right, this comes from Lee. Hi, Tim. I'm looking for some advice on dancing. I'm a big fan of your backwards dancing and wondered if you could still pull it off with your bad back. Of course I can, mate. My question would be, at 36 years, could I still pull it off or should I stick to your standard dancing? Well, when I was on Soccer M, I used to... Basically, I'd gone to a couple of weddings and I kind of noticed that older men do this thing where they dance backwards. I'll give Mark a little demo, but this is no good for you lot, but just so Mark can get his head around it.
Oh, right, yes, okay. I have seen you do that. That's not the one where you put your arms down and lift your knees up.
No, that's the UK hip-hop dance. Oh, okay. I've got that one in my locker. I've got backwards dancing, and I've got the Charleston.
That just then is why we win awards on podcasts.
Yeah,
you dancing off mic.
Me dancing off mic. With no one can see it on an audio form of medium. Yeah, so... That's backward dancing. I think I used to do it to Whitney Houston. What's Whitney Houston's song? I want to dance with somebody. Maybe that one. I don't know. I think I used to do it to that. And it was because I'd gone to weddings and watched old guys dance backwards. And I thought, that's amazing. Why are people dancing backwards? And you look around now, you'll notice it now. Older men dance backwards.
If you do it far enough, you can go out the door.
But they dance backwards and they turn around and they dance back again. It's just this like really strange thing. So yeah, I tell you what the key to dancing is. I learned this. Have fun. That is the key to dancing. Because it's as a man, it's intimidating to go on a dance floor. You got your one mate who always goes, he's usually a short fella, isn't he? And he goes, yeah, I'm going to go on and dance with all the girls. Yeah, look at me. I'm great. I'm going to dance. And he's got all the charisma and all the, he's charisma, yeah, all that charisma, all that... Oh, what's the word I'm looking for? Excitement, passion. He goes on, he starts dancing with the girls. They're like, hey, look at this guy. And all the rest of us are stood there going, oh, God, it's dancing time. We've got to get involved in this, do we? And unless we're absolutely battered, it's a real stretch for us to get on the dance floor. Is it? Or is that just me?
No, I'm not a dancer.
I think it's most men. That's why you always see the men are at the bar and the girls are on the dance floor. Because men, we find it intimidating to do. This is sexist, isn't it? In the world of equality, I shouldn't be splitting men and women in their dancing ability. But men find it hard. But if you go on the dance floor and you have fun, the most important thing to do is not take it seriously. When someone walks on the dance floor and they've got a serious look on their face, you're just asking for trouble because then you get judged. If you're just having fun, smile a lot. Commit, though. When you enter the dance floor, commit. Move. Don't just stand there. Start moving. Do move your legs and make sure you move your arms, because there's dancers who don't move their legs and there's dancers who don't move their arms. You got to do a little combination of both. You don't have to do too much, but smile, enjoy it. Bang out the UK hip hop dancing for anything slightly urban. That always works. And just
hit. Do you know how old we sound right now?
This is good for, I can't tell you, Mark, how often people tweet me saying I'm banging out the hip-hop moves, the UK hip-hop moves, because it's just funny. It's fun to do. It's funny and people join in. And dancing is about that. The problem is people take it so seriously and then it becomes intimidating. If it's just about fun, then it's all right. I've never really understood that concept, though, of, you know, when girls say to you, they go, I'm going out for a night dancing. Do you understand that concept? It's a bit like, I'm going to go out and do some press-ups. I'm going to go and do some shuttles. It's like, it's a strange concept for me.
I've never said that, no.
Mark, should we go out tonight, go dancing?
No.
Come on, let's do it. Anyway, the most important thing to do is hit the bloody beat. That's all you have to concentrate on. Don't try and do a twist and a turn, because you might not hit the hit the beat. The most important thing to do, hit the bloody beat. That's an old Buddhist proverb. If you're going to dance, if you're going to go and dance, hit the bloody beat. Listen to the beat. We dance to the on beat, unless you're obviously listening to regular ska, and then you'd hit the off beat. Is it, or is it the other way around? It's definitely, is it off beat on reggae and ska, isn't it? And on beat on everything else.
You're talking to someone who does not dance.
Yeah, but you know about music, how to write music. You do it differently in reggae and ska, don't you? You do the offbeat. Yeah, so.
I don't know about music. You've heard the jingles.
I love your jingles. They're great. Our opening jingle always reminds me of Brushstrokes. It does. I always think, what's the guy of Brushstrokes called? What's he called? Is it Elmo's? What's he called? Jack. Is he Jack?
Something like that.
Jack, let's Google him. Come on. Oh, good excuse to use your Google jingle.
El My Putney's Wine Bar.
Tim is Googling on the internet, looking for information to fill up his head. To fill up his head, or just to fill up the time. Whoever get the feeling, he's wasting yours and mine. Oh no, no, no.
Yeah, Carl Howman was Jacko. What was his surname?
Jacko Strokes. Mr. B Strokes.
Well, it's there, isn't it? It's all there. I can't find it. So here we go. I found it. Just Jacko. He doesn't have a surname. Why does he not have a surname? Surely, if you're going to write something, surely half the fun is writing the surname. Let's give him one. Let's give him one, Mark. What should he call? Redfern. Jacko Redfern.
Okay.
That's what I'd call him. All right. So, The Magic says... He tweets us, actually, The Magic. Says, getting married in 5 weeks. A nerve-calming morning tipple. Remy or Hennessy, please advise Timbo. And I say to him, don't numb the senses. Go with all senses blazing. Suck in the atmosphere and remember the great day forever. I do actually think this is something worth touching on now, because I can't tell you how often I end up at a huge event, like a sporting event, and I'm with my mates. They go, let's go to the pub. And I'm like, yeah, all right. And they go, come on, let's go and get a load of drink. And I'm like, well, yeah, I kind of want to watch the event happening. I don't want to watch it. I kind of want to suck it all in.
You can't turn up drunk to the equestrian, can you?
I want to keep the senses awake for stuff. Yet, for some reason, I think it's a British phenomenon. Whenever we do anything, we want to do it half cut. Sense is a bit numb.
I think, but a bit of it, I think, is like having a chat beforehand. And
I do thing, like that. Yeah, I do like that.
Because like, you know, yes. when you go to the cinema,
yes,
you don't talk, do you? So if you meet someone, let's say if you go on a date,
I don't. But I've been to some cinemas where people do talk.
Yeah, right, exactly. So it's like when you go to the cinema and you go on a date or something. You go, oh, do you want to go to the cinema? Yeah, great. And then you don't talk for 2 hours. Yeah. You go, oh, it's the last train. I better go. And then that's it.
You're going to dates on trains.
Yeah.
Give me a lift, Mark. You don't drive, do you?
Horse-drawn carriage. What do you go on?
No, but I drive.
Quickly nip over and get the Concorde.
I drive.
To the
I've been driving since I was 17.
Well,
learn to drive.
Wow.
What are you like? Well, let's get an Uber. Which way are you going? Do we need one or two? do you like how many beers though before a football match? See, I don't really want to drink before football.
Couple's fine.
Keep the sense. Look. Wedding, what are you doing wedding morning if you're going to get married? Are you having a little tipple, or are you going... See, I just think, take it pure, get all the senses going. It's like...
Yeah, but let's see, the last time I went to the football with you, it's Chelsea, I had to have a drink.
Did I take you to Stamford Bridge?
Yeah.
The home of football?
Yeah, the very quiet was home of football.
Was it any good?
It was Chelsea, Man United, I can't remember the score.
It's a pretty big match I took you to.
I was so drunk.
Pretty good game I took you to.
You called me about half an hour before the game. Look, someone's pulled out, your fancy coming.
Was it that? Was it that obvious?
Yeah.
At least I'm honest.
No, you told me.
Did I?
My mate's pulled out, your fancy coming to the football.
Oh, okay, I apologise.
So it was nice, I was on the list somewhere.
You make me sound terrible, Mark.
You are.
No, I'm not. I'm really a very nice guy. I'm an award-winning human.
That is a step too far, and you know it.
It was only last Tuesday. I was feeling really happy. I thought I'd done quite well, and I gave myself a bloody award.
Because you hoovered the house. Cleaners away, hoovered the house. Yeah. Ooh.
Oh, I give myself an award. Look, it's your wedding day, right? You walk down the stairs, you're all dressed up in your suit, and you've got you're looking immaculate. You've got your knot tied perfectly. I always love it when people get married, because the knot on their tie is just immaculate. And it's hard to do that. I really struggle to get my knot perfect. I always respect a man who can get a perfect. And what I mean
I'm very good at it.
It's getting it so it just goes up the top of the shirt so it sits perfectly.
I've never ever done my top button up.
Yeah, you see, it's scruffy. I don't know. I don't respect you. I like.
Oh, Good. Finally, you've said it.
But get a shirt which is a little bit bigger, and then it wouldn't worry you about around your neck, maybe.
No, I just don't like it.
No, okay. So it's that, and you could walk in. You're about to change your life. There's no bigger life-changing experiences than getting married. I don't believe, even though it feels like exactly the same. You've probably been going out with a person you're about to get married to for years, and then you decide to get married to them. However, it's going to get your heart racing, and you know you're gonna just do it, nude, as it were, senses awake. How exciting is that? Suck it all in. Go, oh, this is how I felt. I was absolutely... Why people, as soon as they... It's this amazing moment, isn't it, when they have to do the I do bit, that the bride and groom start tearing up and crying, and then everyone around starts getting emotional. It's an amazing thing when all it really is...
All the weddings I've been to in the last few years, my friends my age have all had a pint before. We've had a pint beforehand in the pub before the church.
Yeah, I know. But I'm saying don't. Just... bit of sparkling water.
My advice
suck
is,
it in.
My advice is do what the hell you like, because it's your day.
Very true, but I just think have those senses there. It's exciting.
But did you answer his question? Which one was it, the Remy or the Hennessy?
Oh, I'd go Remy any day of the week.
<There we go>. See? shall I edit that last 10 minutes out?
If you want to contact us via Twitter, this is the address.
Problem with very little meat, get hold of Tim by sending him a tweet
at Tim Lovejoy.
I've made a horrible mistake there, because I'm now about to introduce Pearls of Wisdom life hacks, things they didn't teach you at school, which then goes into another jingle.
We're a bit jingle heavy,
so we're going to go too jingle heavy here. Why don't we come on, let's hear it. We want to hear the word banana. Here's Pearls of Wisdom life hacks, things
banana.
They didn't teach you at school. Banana.
TV Tim in the house. Life hacks, pearls of wisdom. Don't let life mug you off. Mug.
Okay, the first one. Want to be a celebrity? You need to learn how to pose for a photo. By the way, I'm useless at this. The press keep using a picture of me where I'm battered. And I actually think it's really funny. Every time they talk about me in the press...
Is that the one with the...
I'm wearing like a brown jacket.
Brown jacket, and your head's slightly to the side.
Yeah,
and you've got blonde hair.
I am so drunk
where
in
were
that
you?
Photo.
Just before your wedding, was it?
Just before my wedding. I don't know where I was, actually. I have no recollection.
You were that drunk.
I have no recollection, but it's really funny because you can see I've got that stupid, inane grin on my face, or I think I'm being cool. But and every time anything happens to me or they mention my name, they always use that picture. And I just think that's really funny. I'm so battered in that picture.
The only time they're not going to use that is if there's a story about you coming out of a club drunk and you're even drunker.
Do you think they sit on pitch desks going, let's get the one where he's drunk.
They call it drunk joy. It's labelled drunk joy in the file.
Anyway, what you have to do if you're in the industry is you have to find yourself a pose. I found one. I've got because I spend a little bit of time. All celebrities will deny this, but because you have to look at pictures of yourself all the time. Hey, I'm not really a celebrity. I don't get my picture taken that much, but I do have to look at myself in pictures all the time. And you have to sort of do that workout how you look half decent. And so I've noticed that you start doing things like, should I have my mouth open? Should I have my mouth closed? Should I be smiling? So I try and smile with my mouth open. I think that's the way to do it. Not like that. Hey, though, I do know a mod. Mark just did like a really big grin with his mouth open. I had a friend who was a model, and she used to get a picture taken quite a lot. And she said just before she has a picture taken, she pretends she's taking a bite out of an apple. And that just takes the jaw, the top of the jaw, over the bottom of the jaw. And yeah, not quite as extreme as you've just done, Mark, but what I love about
it's a very visual podcast this week.
What I love about this is people will be sitting on the bus or wherever they are listening to this podcast trying to eat an apple to pose. People will be looking at you on the bus going, what are they doing? But try that one in the mirror. But you've got to get yourself, if you're going to enter the world of celebrity, don't do it. If you're going to enter the world of celebrity, try and work a pose. Right, my next pearl of wisdom. If you're a celebrity, look rubbish in your publicity pics. Then when people meet you in real life, they say, hey, you look better in real life. It's better than the other way around.
That is dreadful.
No, it's not.
You'll never get a job.
No, it's not. Because I see it all the time.
They're never going to meet you because you look like a dimwit in your photo.
All my publicity shots, I look horrific. And then people always, when they meet me in real life, go, oh, you look all right in real life. Whereas the other way around, where you've got it already polished and airbrushed, what's it called? What's the other?
Photoshopped.
Photoshopped and all that. And you've got perfect skin and you look amazing and no bags under your eyes. Then when people meet you, and look, it happens in my job a lot. I meet a lot of celebrity every Sunday. And you meet them and you're like, yeah, you look better in your picture, don't
just
you?
Just in the green room, good. Just before makeup, you don't recognise them.
Yeah. Who are you? Who are you? Banana? And the final one, I think you'll like this. I've stolen it, though. Never make someone a priority when all you are to them is an option. That comes from Maya Angelou. Hopefully I've pronounced that right. And I love that. She's an American poet and a civil rights activist. But never make someone a priority when all you are to them is an option.
Do you want to explain it?
I think it's self-explanatory, you know.
Can you explain it, though?
If you're just an option to them, then you have
don't
to...
Don't make them a priority.
You don't make them a priority.
Cool, that's all I needed, Tim. We can move on now.
You're making us sound ignorant. Do you know what? You said something to me the other day. You said, I was searching for a word and you said dignity. And it's stuck in my mind, that word, and it's become really prevalent in my thinking all the time. Is this dignified? Am I showing myself with dignity? Is when I'm interacting with other people, you know.
Is this dignified
is constant in my mind, is, you know, and how am I feeling about it all? And it's one of those things, it's really important. And it's important that you show dignity to yourself, if that makes sense. That makes sense. Let me explain it in a better way. What I'm basically trying to say is never make someone a priority when all you are to them.
See, if you just said that in the first place, Tim.
Is an option. If you'd like to send us a pearl of wisdom, a life hack, maybe something they didn't teach you at school, you can email us. We can't play the jingle again, can we, Mark? Jingle overload. I'll just read it. DearLovejoyPodcast@gmail.com. Okay, we've got another long one here. Fasten your seatbelts. Get ready for this. As Mark would say, go and get yourself a beer and a fag. Don't smoke. It's really bad for you. Don't drink.
As he would say. I've only ever said that once last week.
I thought it was tradition.
Referring to something.
I thought it was tradition. You said that now.
Don't make me sound like some sort of lad.
I thought I was the good cop and you were the bad one.
No.
I thought that's the way it was working. No? I think that's what the listeners feel. This comes from a lady who wants to remain nameless, so I will keep her anonymous. Hi, Tim and Mark. When I explain this life problem with a lot of people, they don't seem to view it the way I do. So I was wondering how you view it and if it is the same way as me and if you could offer any advice. In a basic overview, this is my problem. I'm not getting along with my uncle due to his wife's behaviour towards me and other members of my family. I've grown up with him with a more brotherly relationship with my uncle than anything else. We were extremely close growing up and all childhood memories with him are positive. He's been in a relationship with his now wife for about 16 years. They've been married for 3 years and have 2 children. His wife has always been known to our family to be very hard work, demanding of my uncle, and and honestly, an absolute crank.
I've never heard that before.
Crank. Does that mean nutty?
I think must be. That's what it sounds like.
She would cause arguments with him in front of the whole family. She would make passive-aggressive comments about him. She would claim he does nothing for her and so on and so on. It's just become the norm for her to act this way, and the family did not get involved. However, about a year ago, a member of the family got her a job working alongside them and got front row seat to her odd behaviour. She would, I don't know why I'm laughing at that, but I think it's funny that thing. Oh, look at that. I've got front row seat to look how cranky.
Well, I think what's happening is you're enjoying how nicely written this is.
Oh, it's lovely. Yes, there's punctuation and everything in this. She would actively ignore my family member, not even saying hello if they passed. Her behaviour in general was just rude, passive aggressive, and just not how you would act towards a member of your husband's family. She'd make sly digs and odd comments. This one for a number of months, even when she became pregnant. So is that child number three? I'm lost count. And she had two, 16 years, two. So this is the third one. If anything, has enhanced her eccentric behavior. I think becoming pregnant is hard, though. You've got a human growing inside of you. And Mia Krieger, episode number 17, said to us that when you're pregnant, sleep becomes hard. So I imagine life just becomes
Well, imagine
how
you feel like after a big meal. Imagine if it was that was a kid.
I'm not sure it's quite the same.
Oh, it must be similar.
Very similar. Pregnancy and eating a big meal. Right to Mark. Mark's comments do not represent the Dear Love Joy podcast. In April this year, I celebrated my birthday with my uncle and their daughter, who went out for the day. My uncle told me that his wife was not at all happy. He had bought their daughter. Why not? He claimed that it was due to the fact they would still have to pay nursery fees even though she wasn't there, although for some reason I did not believe him. The next day I invited her, not out of choice, but out of case of having to because everyone else was going to celebrate my birthday at a party in my house. She came and sat down, spoke to literally one person, did not move from her seat, and did not talk to me or wish me happy birthday. She instead chose to sit in the corner and look miserable. When my uncle was standing in the other end of the room talking to me, she sat and gave us dirty looks and did not take her eyes away until we stopped talking. She's jealous of your relationship with your uncle, as in that you've got a lovely, loving relationship, and she's obviously feeling like intimidated by it in some way. When my uncle got a drink, she would shout at him in front of everyone else and say he wasn't allowed to drink. She ended up causing such fuss, my uncle had to go home early to avoid continuing the argument. This is a classic case of someone sitting there feeling angry and vulnerable and going, well, I'm just going to hate you and hate him because you two have got a good relationship. Do you not think? I'm on my own there, am I, Mark? Several members of my opposite side of the family began to ask questions about her behaviour, proving it's not just me and a few others who see it. The next day, in a general chit-chat, she claimed that she used to date a professional footballer and that she should have stayed with him because he earns more money than my uncle, who's an electrical engineer. She lives off my uncle. Everything she has is in his name, including the house and a good car. She feels intimidated in the family. You can tell she does. She made several other passing comments similar to this, which I can only assume she forgot. She was talking to a member of his family and laughed off. She feels crap, so she's saying horrible things. She's trying to stir it all up. When you feel terrible about something, you want everybody else to feel terrible. So she's trying to intimidate, put down, make herself separate herself. She's obviously got problems, which needs to be addressed. Okay, then the following month, her disgusting and unpredictable behaviour came to a disturbing new height when an altercation occurred between myself and my uncle's wife. I was at my grandmother's house having tea and the phone rang. It was my uncle asking my grandmother to look after his daughter while his heavily pregnant wife went out for dinner. When they came back to pick up their daughter, I chose not to talk to her unless she spoke to me due to awful comments at my birthday. She barely spoke to me anyway, not even saying hello. She was sat next to me on the couch, my uncle on the other side of me. I asked my uncle if he would spend some time with me and maybe we could go out for something to eat. His heavily pregnant wife loudly and aggressively shouted in front of my nan, granddad and their four-year-old and myself that he wasn't allowed to go with me and that he has enough to do at home with her. I ignored her and asked again. She started wagging her finger again, saying he was not allowed to go out. Then he left. Thought not much of it. Another time she showed herself not to be a nice person. About an hour later, though, I received a text from her, which said, do me a favor and don't ask him to take you out when he doesn't even bother taking me and his daughter out. He has a family now to pay for. She doesn't like your relationship with him. That's the fact. You know, it's so obvious. You can see that. I immediately broke down in tears after reading it. I was distraught. She had made me feel like I was doing something awful when all I wanted to do was spend time with my uncle. It's because your relationship with the uncle has no ties and it's just one of friendship and you know, love. And she's aggrieved by the whole thing. Anyway, she goes on to say, there's quite a bit more, but she goes on to say, I'm absolutely distraught about what's happened. I most of all miss my uncle, who, as I said, is more like my big brother. I desperately want a relationship with my uncle, but now it feels absolutely impossible. I struggle to look him in the eye, as it seems he has done nothing to stand up for me in this situation. He's struggling because he's been put in the middle of all this. He's got three children or two and a half children with his wife, so this is tough. Anyway, I'm sorry, I'm not sure where I'm going with this, but I feel like reaching out for some advice that is looking from the outside in. I'd appreciate if no names were used. If you read this story out on your podcast, thank you. It's just like, it's family stuff, isn't it? People are assholes.
Yeah.
And they are. And it's just, it's so hard because just something he said or something you've said or something, it's just been...
It falls into, there's two categories where these situations fall into, as far as I can see. One is, I think, can you cut them out of your life or can't? Can you or can't you cut them out of your life? You can't cut her out of your life.
Why?
It's simply impossible if she wants to keep a relationship with her uncle.
Yeah, but
simply,
why does she have to keep a relationship with her uncle?
I think she should be the bigger person here and be and treat her with smiles and kindness, because you will do nothing wrong. You will feel better, and it will drive her batshit mental.
Yeah, you think that?
Yes, because there's as I said, two situations. You can't get rid of her. She's not a friend of a friend. You go, don't need them in my life anymore. You can't.
Why?
You simply can't. She simply can't not have her in her life. And you well, know, you
no,
know
I
she don't. Can't.
I'd see you.
But if you're really nice to her, it will drive her nuts.
I think you could wake up tomorrow and take every single person in your family, apart from Myrtle the cat, and friends. You could get rid of us all. I don't mean exterminate us. I mean ignore us. Move on. You could move to, let's say, you could move to Norwich. Okay, so tomorrow you get up, move to Norwich, and you change your phone number. And you decide, I'm going to have a new life. And your life will be perfectly fine. You'll just build up new friends and stuff. And it'll be great. Your life's about you, isn't it? And not about everybody else.
But I don't want to.
I know you don't want to. And you've got a lovely family. And you've got some really good friends. Look, hello. So you've got some lovely friends.
Friends with some ridiculous points of view on life.
But what I'm saying is you can get rid of anyone from your life.
No, that was the most childish thing you've ever done.
Go
right,
on,
okay. She wants to keep a relationship with her uncle. That's what she's asking.
Yeah.
So she has to then be really nice to her. It will drive her mad.
Yeah.
And you'll feel better for just being nice.
Yeah.
And there's nothing she can do. She can't snap at you when you're going, hi, would you like a cup of tea or a coffee or something? She can't go, oh, leave me alone. She'll look mad.
I think that's Mark's advice. Now,
here we go.
Right, no, see, dignity. There's a word. There's a word. You got to have some dignity in all this. Your uncle's treating you badly, and so's she.
What?
Yeah. What do you mean, what? Right, let me carry on. Let me carry on, and then you can critique me if you want. She's not happy, right? The wife is not happy. She's clearly not happy. And she's clearly jealous of you. Number one, you go and be honest with her. And you say, you're not happy with me. What's up? Right, that's it. What's up? Then you by the way, I think you are doing perfectly well, what you're doing. I think you're brilliant. You've just gone, I'm ignoring her, getting her out of my life. However, Mark is right. If you want a relationship with your uncle, you have to address her. However, your uncle's complicit in this behaviour because she is being horrible to you and the rest of your family, and your uncle is doing nothing about it. Your uncle's got a life as well, and he's obviously completely uncomfortable. He's got to he's got to address the situation with his wife as well. There is basically one really very unhappy human here, and you've got to get to the bottom of why this human's unhappy. She might be bored out of her brains being a mum with two kids. She might have just found her life's dull and needs to go and find something else to do. And she might have
taken your tip and put some bits of paper in her shoe and she's walking around with them and forgot to take them out.
Maybe she is. But your uncle's not faultless in this. He's complicit in it all, and he's putting all you lot in this situation. So unlike what I think with Mark, is you just face it, you're just honest with it all. You don't treading eggshells around it all. You go in like a bull in a china shop. That's what you do, and you address it. You go up to the pregnant woman, and you go, the pregnant wife, sorry, and you say to her, what is your problem? You're clearly upset. How can I help you? Should we go out? How are we going to become friends? You go up to the uncle and you say to him, you're complicit in this. What's going on? Why is your wife like that? Why are you not able to have a decent relationship with us anymore? Sort it out.
More from Jeremy Carl next week.
It's good advice. You've got to talk to your uncle about it. You've got to talk to, I don't know. He knows deep down, doesn't he? The uncle knows deep down. deep down he's having a nightmare. Every time he goes to a family party, he's thinking, oh no, I've got to go and do this stuff. Do you reckon there's any ever a family party where there isn't tension? I remember my family parties years ago, and I don't have a massive family anymore, but when everyone used to come, there's always...
That's because you cut them all out of your life.
Well, I don't have a very big family. My parents are both only children. Oh, right. So my grandparents are dead. sadly, my brother died as well. So we don't have a massive family anymore. But I do remember when the family were all together, there was often occasions where someone would be upset about something that happened, because people always get their nose put out of joint, don't they? Do you not think that in families? Mark doesn't think that in families at all. But I think that happens quite often. I just think it always needs to be addressed. Anyway, I face it. Just go. Be honest. Tell them what you think. And if you come out of it looking, you know, with everybody angry with you, good. Move on. You don't need it. Just carry on with your life. Anyway, everyone needs to do a little bit of housekeeping every now and then. If you're listening to this and you've got a friend or a family member who's annoying you, take the opportunity to go up to them and say, "What is your problem? What is going on in your life? What is your problem? Why are you being like this? Let's talk it through. Let's go for a burger and have a chat about it." That's what you need to do.
What happens if they're a vegetarian?
Veggie burgers, Mark.
Okay.
That's why veggie burgers are there, to have a little chat about. Right, on today's podcast, I've talked to you about dancing, keeping your senses awake. We've discussed that. We've discussed how to do some housekeeping with family members and friends, how to pose for a celebrity photograph, and... what else have we learned? How to be dignified. The word dignity, how important that is. Hopefully it's been a roller coaster of exciting information.
You can't sell it, can you?
Award winning. Hope you enjoyed listening to our award winning podcast. Tweet us at Tim Lovejoy. You can email us dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com. Subscribe to us, or you can rate us 5 stars, or leave a lovely comment on iTunes if you want to. We'll be back next week. Please write in with all your problems. We love to hear them, and I'm sure you agree, great advice is being handed out here on this podcast. Just though, that please do remember, if you do take my advice, you're taking advice off a TV presenter. On that note, adios.
Bye.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.